don't know about you, but this summer was a little different. The traffic never seemed to let up. The restaurants were crowded on Monday nights. And I kind of had to wonder, what's going on? What did we, in fact, were these just my anecdotal observations that had no basis in quantitative reality? Or am I onto something? Eric, what do you think? Was this summer up there or what?
So you're exactly right in your on-the-street assessment is exactly right to the data. I can give you a little bit of further evidence. So over the course of the city's fiscal year in 2021, we actually ended up the entire fiscal year up 11% versus 2020 and up 9% versus 2019, which is the previous record high. In June, evidence from the shoulder season, June was up 89% in 2021 versus 2020 and up 54% versus 2019. So just an astonishing level of growth in that shoulder season month, for example.
Those are huge, huge numbers. And obviously the local businesses saw the benefit of that at a time when it was really important to see those types of benefits. How does the average Park City resident benefit from that? The fact that sales tax was up, how do those sales tax dollars get spent here locally to improve our quality of life and services?
Yeah, definitely. So any time that sales taxes beat expectations, that essentially adds flexibility for the council on how they want to deploy that revenue. So traditionally speaking, we've actually spent about 40% of all sales taxes on operations. So that means paying humans to do things. A portion of my salary, for example, would be funded through sales taxes. And then about 32% of that is spent on general capital improvements. So things like roadways, parks, fields, trails, things like that. And then 28% goes to transportation operations and transportation capital improvements. So if we beat expectations, it just adds to the flexibility which council can deploy funds into some of those targeted goals that they may have. So, last year we were able to manage the budget fairly dynamically. And in the cases where things were improving or looking better than expected, we were able to redeploy some of that into new positions or things that council wanted to target and or restore capital investments where we had previously held off.
Eric, just so I can understand the data a little more, what is the basis for sales tax? In other words, what kinds of purchases are subject to the sales tax?
So it's all point of sale revenues at registered businesses within the city. In addition to that, it's any physical goods or services that are delivered into the city by what are called non-nexus payers, which is a fancy way of saying a business that is not based in Park City but delivers a good or service into Park City. And then the last thing, another key component would be the transient room tax, which is an additional assessment on lodging, if that makes sense.
So again, what I'm trying to understand is, and I think you've answered my question, which is that dramatic increase reflects not only sort of the clothing sales and the other sort of hard goods and services we think of, it is sort of reflective of what was going on in the lodging industry, and also to some extent the restaurant industry as well.
Yeah, so we actually saw every single sector of the city up, if that makes sense, in 2021. And that relative growth across the sectors may have, not had an equal distribution, but they all grew. And that's a great sign for the health of the economy.
And to me, what was most interesting was not the comparison to last year, which was a truly weird year, but it's those numbers off 2019 that are really, really eye-popping across the board.
Correct, yeah. And I mean, let me throw out one other data point to you specifically with regard to lodging. We subscribe to a data set in coordination with the chamber, and it lets us see the visitor nights of people who are in the hotels. July's visitor nights were only 6.9% below the previous record winter high of February 2020. So,
Roger, you were dead on. It's just crazy how many people were in our town this summer. Not only are we seeing people in our town, but the way people buy has changed. It used to be when you bought something off the internet, of course, I'm referring to online purchases. It used to be when you bought stuff online, not that long ago, you did not pay sales tax. Now you do pay sales tax on that. What has been the impact on sales tax revenue from online purchases in addition to all this additional foot traffic that we've seen?
So certainly positive, and you're correct in saying that the structure of the revenues has changed to a degree. So one thing that we noticed over the course of 2021 was significantly more transactions in the sales tax remittance data, which we can see every single payer every month. So higher volumes of transactions at lower dollar amounts. So instead of saying, you know, I'm the buyer who comes in for, you know, during January and spends $10,000 over the course of a month, maybe that person wasn't as present in the city, but we did have a lot more drive traffic, a lot more people coming more frequently and making smaller transactions. So that it was more of a diversified set of revenue, which I actually take to be a healthy sign, if that makes sense.
I want to go back to something you were just starting to talk about, which was comparing this summer to our winter peak, because that's just not something that we as a community would ever have thought would happen. Talk a little bit more about that. I mean, one of the phenomenons that I saw that clearly is consistent with that was the vanishing of the restaurant 2-for-1 coupon because we were so busy this summer. Talk about that winter comparison.
Yeah, and I actually have one more point on that front for you, which is to say, let's think actually previous to COVID. Let's go back to January 2019, you know, glory days in terms of sales revenue. And July 21st saw 4.5% more visitors. July of 2021 saw 4.5% more visitors than in January of 2019. So we're starting to have this phenomenon, as you say, where the summer months or the shoulder season are starting to look more and more like winter months. Now, the question is that just a post-COVID effect? Is that an acceleration of the, you know, forced savings that happened in the midst of the pandemic being unlocked? Is it the restoration of travel? How long does this last? I would venture to guess that a small component could it be that kind of post-COVID acceleration you get from opening up. But I would also be willing to venture a guess that it's actually significantly more long-term inflationary effects where people are actually in their secondary homes. They're visiting in the summer. They're recognizing the benefits of the outdoor year-round, you know, opportunities that are here.
And there's one more phenomenon that I don't know how we would quantify, which is the possibility that the inability to go to Europe this summer has caused some wealthy travelers to choose to come to a place like this. And I don't know any way to quantify that, but I kind of wonder about that.
Certainly plausible. I think in terms of our sales tax modeling, the international travel has less leverage over the revenues than the domestic travel does. Mm-hmm. And we've seen a significant uptick in the domestic arrivals at Salt Lake International. So that's the thing that we likely care about most. In terms of how much beta is the international market worth, it's lower. Mm-hmm. It matters, but it's lower.
Particularly, I would guess, in the summer, right? The domestic demand is more valuable to us. And Roger, I think you make a great point. That domestic demand was not able to go to other places, so we benefited from that. And as much as I like being in the town when it's quiet, let's hope this continues because it's so healthy. You know, Roger and I are kind of kids in the toy store today with you because we both like talking about these things. Both Roger and I have a dozen questions for you, and we don't have time for that. But I'm curious from your perspective. You have access to all this data. What were one or two of the biggest surprises for you? I mean, you were expecting lodging to be up. You were expecting restaurant numbers to be up. What were a couple surprises as you look at the data?
You know, one thing that's a challenge with modeling future projections is you always only have the data up to the point in time you're trying to make the projection, and the past distribution sometimes is not relevant for the future. So those fundamental changes, what divergences happened? I think the first thing was that we thought the travel would be more of a long L shape to recovery, and it was actually more of a sharp V. So the appetite to travel after the holidays actually ramped up much more quickly than expected. That was a surprise, and that was mostly just because, you know, we were only seeing what was happening in that downturn and not able to really say, oh, the acceleration is coming. Second to that, the drive traffic, which we are still looking to do a better job at modeling, but that kind of daily drive traffic, would that show up? That was a big question heading into this year, and it actually, and you know, in the past winter, and it did. And then third thing would just be the pace of inflation in general. So that is a component of the sales tax revenues, and it it's not necessarily linked to direct real growth, but that has actually accelerated faster than expected as well, partly in, due in part to the federal response to the pandemic.
Eric, while I suspect many of our listeners are most vitally interested in projections for snowfall for the winter, you, I suspect, are trying to do projections for what we expect in terms of lodging and sales coming up. And I know you're, I suspect you're also doing those projections. What are you looking at in terms of early data? What does it suggest to you about what this winter might look like?
I think it suggests continued strength and further growth, perhaps at a pace slightly above the historical norm continuing. So, you know, if we saw Park City generating sales taxes over the last 20 years, I'm not giving you the exact number, but let's say it, I think it was 8 to 9% annually. I think we would we've budgeted and expected something similar and above that. So 10 to 11% potential increase. And you're also getting this dynamic of events that were absent last winter are returning. So given that we were able to manage through that and still end up with a record-setting number, one would imagine that the return of some of those core events to the city in the winter would actually just continue to further stabilize. And I think the shoulder season strength is a continuing trend. Maybe it drops off like a little bit, you know, but I think people are discovering the city and they're coming and they're staying.
Eric, we've got about 45 seconds left. I want to ask you a question. Another trend that we've seen is this movement away from buying day passes when our visitors come into buying a season pass. Has that been revenue neutral to the city, or what kind of impact has that had to the city? And if you'd prefer to pass on this one, I understand.
So I can't discuss specific taxpayers directly, but I haven't done a deep dive on that theme itself. But thus far, it hasn't had a significant impact on the sales revenues in general. I could come back with a more detailed response. I can't say anything more intelligent than that at the moment.
Okay.
Apologies.
Well, then we will leave it at that. We've been talking to Eric Danitz. He is with Park City Municipal. Thank you for listening to Mountain Money. Please leave a review on your podcast app. It would be helpful for us.